This week's episode was brought to you by the extra-dimensional Lovecraftian deities haunting my nightmares, and Ubik! Experience Ubik today. Are you tired of endless marching of time towards an inevitable disintegration into chemical inertness? Why does time always march forward? Well, now, doesn't have to. With Ubik! Just add a teaspoon of Ubik to an 8-ounce glass of water or milk at night to experience the healing, time-reversing effects of Ubik! Wake up! Not only feeling younger and fresher, but actually being younger and fresher. Order Ubik today. On this week's episode, we're celebrating my birthday by tossing the research out the window and talking about whatever we want. If you enjoyed the hour-long discussion, you can find the 2-hour version available for free at www.patreon.com/thewholerabbit. Thank you, and enjoy the show.
Time is a measurement in itself. How do you measure, and like, how much is an inch worth?
What's the question?
How much is an inch worth, Luke?
Well, it came from, we were talking about how, you know, cryptocurrency ain't worth shit, but fiat currency ain't worth shit. And then I brought up the movie about being time is used as a currency. It's like, well, how much is time worth? It's like, well, how much is an inch worth? Like, how much is anything really worth? That's subjective.
It is subjective, but working in retail, there is a formula for like, per square foot, how much money you can possibly make. Yeah, so that's why your floor in your retail store needs to be full of stuff, because there is a formula.
There is, and that formula does keep into account, you know, what is there. You know, if you have Coca-Cola up front, you're more likely to get people on their way out than on their way in. Of course, they put all the things you actually need near the back, so you have to walk past all the other stuff.
Yeah, like impulse items right at the counter.
Like the milk.
It's stupid. They've got us more figured out than we have ourselves figured out, and I think that that's retarded, but that's how it's working. And imagine if we flipped the script, right? Imagine if we knew more about ourselves than they did. Then they'd be fucked.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to The Whole Rabbit, where we do more than just get an expensive citation for being a tiny bit amorous. Nay, we get chased, tackled, tasered, pepper sprayed, and thrown in the squad car, booked, and sent directly to horny jail, where much bonking ensues, because this week we're discussing whatever we want, because it's my birthday, no, I didn't want to do any research, and I also didn't want to take a week off recording. I'm your host, Luke Madrid, and I'm joined this week, of course, by Mari Sama, the mimetic samurai persecutor and bonk master of Horny Incarcerated Incorporated.
She's here, I promise. I don't know where she went.
Yeah, she's somewhere. Hey,
maybe she's
look,
in the back
wait.
Of the squad car.
Hi, I'm Mari.
The delightfully disquieting Darth Dingus.
I think he threw a chair.
That sounds accurate.
The macerator of Mobius strips, Malachor 5.
Eat my shorts.
Wasn't that the name of a Nickelodeon show where they go to Camp Onawana and the bully's name
shit,
is like
I know this one.
And there's Donkey Lips. There's
is
a guy
it
named
Camp
Donkey
Onawana
Lips.
Or was it Camp Marijuana? I feel like it's Camp Marijuana.
You can't have
maybe
a Nickelodeon show with Camp Marijuana. But
I know the song though, Camp Marijuana. We hold it in our heart, and when we think about you, it makes us wanna fart. Oh God, it's like that's deep. That's embedded. They got me good.
Hey. Can anyone hear me?
Yes.
Okay,
yeah,
sorry. Yeah, my mic got disconnected when it fell.
Oh, when I introduced you, you fell over?
Yeah, that's why it fell, and I went, fuck.
Fucking light, man.
I'm sorry about that.
It's okay. Mari's not here yet.
Yeah, but we just started recording again, right?
Yeah.
All right, so...
So you spent some time in the woods drinking today. Why'd you do it? Why? Why'd you do it?
For ban. I've been having disturbing dreams about some Silent Hill shit happening at this trailhead that I go to every week. So I went there, and I walked around in places I hadn't been to yet while I drank 750 milliliters of semi-potent whiskey. Every swig was atrocious. I recorded the whole thing. I'll put a video up.
All right. And you did this to commune with Pan.
Yeah. I don't know how much communing actually happened, but I'm sure he saw me. For the most part, I was just stumbling up hills, sitting down on rocks, taking giant ass fucking sips of liquor, and then like falling back over. I think I fell over 10 times today. I climbed up a fucking riverbank by grabbing onto thin trees. And then under the rocks, like on that side of the riverbank, I saw a bunch of children's toys and a rusted Tonka truck arranged.
Ooh.
Like, as if in a satanic ritual?
What?
I hope so.
It's Mari Sama, the mimetic samurai persecutor and bogmaster of Horde Incarceration Incorporated. Welcome back to the show.
Oh, thanks. Are we starting over?
Can you say hi? I'm Mari.
Hi, I'm Mari.
And most importantly, we are joined by the tenaciously terrific Witch of Time, Rona.
Why hello. I am Rona, the Will of Time. Glad to be back for this special occasion.
He is the headmaster of Sleepy Forest Academy, School of Magic. If you'd like to learn more and get some classes from Rona himself, check out the links in the description.
Yay, I got a plug.
What you got a plug for?
That's on my agenda.
Fucking. I think after everyone has spent most of the year locked inside, it's safe to assume there's a certain amount of horniness that covers the public con. You might even say it's a pan horniness.
Yeah, there's going to be rows of paddy wagons rounding people up to go straight to horny jail.
I have a problem, though, is even before lockdown, I was being celibate because of some grief shit. And so now I have to wait like a long ass time to get back into the game. And I'm really sad because now I'm old. Like, I was looking forward to partying this year, like at multiple like conventions and like maybe go to my first burn and all this other stuff. And it's like, I mean, I guess I could still burn, but
you can still do all of those things, as Lord Henry Wotton would say from the
Queen
of Dorian Gray. The only thing you need to reclaim your youth is to remake all your old mistakes. Just go do it. Nothing's holding you back. Who cares?
And to get a vaccine. So, no, I cannot go to some conventions.
Okay, look. You can get a vaccine, or you can drop $20 and get a fake card. It's up to you.
I can make one.
Dude, the way they're handling this vaccine is a joke.
I have integrity, though. And also, the FBI is looking for that now. Which, I was like, you guys should have been looking for that before you announced that you would look that you would have them.
Yeah, what the hell? You mean to tell me they weren't looking for that originally?
Like, how I'm like, I can't even like socialize in person, and everyone's afraid to like hang out. So my social life is pretty much over right now. I mean, in the horny jail department specifically.
But the question is, why? Why are they scared of you? If they're vaccinated, they can't get it from you, can they?
No.
Oh, but wait, they can.
It's a mind fuck. Yeah, I think it's stupid, but I don't want to force my views on people, but apparently people don't want to associate. I don't know. It's not even that. It's just people are afraid to go out, or they will only go to places that will check for vaccines. Or so, like, a lot of my conventions that I usually go to, I'm like, they're either canceled or it's that stuff where they're gonna check you at the door or whatever. I'm like, well, I'm not getting it, so I guess goodbye, friends. I'll be a hermit in the mountains. So I probably am the best candidate for the commissioner of the horny jail because I am involuntarily celibate at the moment.
Can't put those things together in a sentence. You can't.
Involuntarily celibate.
Yeah.
I say I'm a female neckbeard? Not by choice.
I identify as neckbeard.
Tipping fedora intensifies.
No, this is an important question. How long do you have to be horny and unable to get sex before you become a quote incel?
I don't know.
Because legit, I had kind of a... I have ended up in a few of these like long distance COVID queen type situations, and they all just seem to make the crushing depression of reality like so much worse. And
bro, I grew up online. It's just, and then I had to learn that that's not fulfilling.
It's not. It's so not fulfilling in any way at all.
I thought it was, but I was lying to myself, because then when I actually connect with someone in person, like, when they say chemistry, that's like completely true. Like, it's hormones and stuff, and like, you can't get that from the internet. You can't.
I don't trust people. I can't smell, you know?
Oh my gosh, yes, smells.
Hannibal Lecter Hannibal Lecter can tell if somebody's schizophrenic just by the way they smell. And probably some nurses and doctors can too, by just having been around.
Death.
Yeah, you can smell certain things on people.
Like, animals can smell when you're about to die, like if you're going to die soon. Humans can do it too, but we pretend that we don't know because we have a frontal lobe, but animals go straight to the dying person. so cool.
Well, something interesting that I guess I inferred from listening to some fucked up doctor stories is that you can literally be more dead than alive, more rotting parts than you are living parts, and still survive that for quite some time.
It's still, quote, be alive.
Yeah, still be conscious for it, you know? Well, so that... I'm sure, like, before you actually start dying, you do start rotting a little bit.
That's kind of beautiful, though, because we're just in that state now, just not as advanced. Just not as advanced.
Well, you know, we're still strong enough to wipe our own asses and wear deodorant.
Well, honestly, Luke, you're onto something, because people are having psychological effects where they kind of want, they're getting like Stockholm syndrome, or they want to stay locked down, or they're afraid to interact, or like, you know, even shake hands anymore because of this.
I used to go to bars every night and talk to people and be horny, but this past year I'm like, oh, like it sucked at the beginning, but then after a while I was just like, man, it's kind of cool just like not having to go and talk to a bunch of people. Like I felt like I had to be at the bar and talk to people every night, and it's kind of good. But I also know I'm self-aware of that Stockholm syndrome crap, and I'm like, maybe this isn't okay.
Well, from someone who's an introvert, it was like easy cruising for me for like 6 months, but now I'm like, how am I going to have a social life? How am I going to, you know, get out there and find people that want to hang out with or do the stuff with?
I've been asking myself that question for 2 years, and nothing has changed for me because of the pandemic.
But there's like no motivation right now, and it's like, it like for me, and it feels like, oh, I've kind of resigned to this, like, oh, no one's ever going to hug again. So maybe everyone needs to go to horny jail.
Seriously, Hideo Kojima's Death Stranding was exceedingly strange before the pandemic, and then profoundly meaningful after it. That's all I gotta say. Like, they live in a society. So? They live in a society where if somebody dies, it causes sort of a EMP explosion that is deadly, like basically a nuclear explosion. And that's, nobody can shoot each other or kill each other because it'll result in basically a large bomb going off, and everyone is afraid of getting infected with this disease matter that's like creeping into the world and nobody can understand it. And by studying this disease or this evil substance that's invading the world, they come to learn more about their past in the story. But the thing is everyone is really depressed, and they live in a society where they've phased out money, where people didn't need jobs anymore, but there were some people that just wanted to work, and so they became delivery people. Essentially, after everything went crazy, like you vehicles couldn't get through like the disease matter, and everything became corrupted, so the world relied on these delivery people. And after a while, these delivery people like kind of lose their mind because there's nothing else to do or live for. And it's like this dopamine rush they get. And then the people that are in lockdown, everyone lives in a lockdown. And I'm explaining this poorly, in Death Stranding. They take these things called smart drugs. And if you read the description, it says that it's oxytocin. So people are basically taking the hugging drug to feel better as they're in lockdown permanently in like a dystopian afterlife where the only job there is delivery jobs, you know?
Here's something really interesting, though, is that if you supplement stuff that your brain is supposed to make over time, your brain will stop making as much, or it will lose the ability to produce it.
As any of you opiate and benzodiazepine guys or women would know.
Yeah. And that's what's really scary about that, is even if those people like got to utopia or like a good world where they could, like, if they conquered that dark disease that was spreading across the land, it's like nobody would want to come out of their VR pod or disconnect from the drug drip long enough to like give each other a hug, and they wouldn't be able to like it wouldn't be enough of a hit for them to survive. So they're stuck to the machine and the technology, and it's like sad because they did it to survive, but they've actually destroyed their genetic signature because of how crippled they were.
Well, everyone lives in these lockdowns where they have access to this instantaneous internet that allows them to do 3D printing of objects. This is done through connecting nodes in a network. And once you connect everything, everyone has access to everyone else's data. And then they can start putting the puzzle pieces together of like what happened or whatever. But everyone in that world is like a hobbyist. They have like this thing they're interested in. They spend all their time working on it or reading about it. And they do research about it. But they live through their computer, right? They live on their screen.
Right?
Yeah.
It's specialized, and not one of them can survive without the knowledge of another user on the node on the network, right?
It's very hard to live outside the network. Like there were some preppers that were ready for it and some other, you know, but mostly the quote void outs, they call them, destroyed everything. And it's weird because I had a hard time explaining it just now, and I don't know how many people tuned out because I explained it so poorly, but the fact is that game was too weird before the pandemic, and afterwards, a lot of the themes in it started to feel exceedingly personal.
Well, here's something just before we get off the subject that I thought was interesting about the poetry of the title, Death Stranding. So you were talking about how when people die, they basically set off a fucking atom bomb, right? So in an increasingly disconnected and lonely society, if you lose a friend, that's a big fucking deal. That may be five or six people losing one of their like three or four friends that they have or know.
Yeah. Wow.
So in an increasingly isolated society, it's death stranding, but you can't hold on to everybody forever.
And the thing about the Death Stranding event, like, because that's what wiped out people, it all started because people were connected too much on that network. That's what caused this shit to happen.
Like an overload of the network because there was too much information. Information overload is something I struggle with.
Consider also, just before, consider also Hideo Kojima's commentary on the internet beforehand. Like in Metal Gear Solid 2, you know that whole scene where you're playing as Raiden and then Colonel Campbell goes, "Turn off the game console." And it's revealed that you're running simulations. They start talking about how in the future people will start to gather around niche interests into smaller and more niche groups until no change can be accomplished because nobody is willing to bend their ways at all. People just become increasingly radicalized.
This is already happening in science.
Everyone creates their own echo chambers, basically.
Yeah.
And in the economy and social interactions, it's happening all over the place. But science in particular is disturbing because we have a lot of specialists that are in certain fields, but and the only way that we can really understand, like even metaphysics or like what a black hole is or learn what the fuck gravity is, the only way we're going to be able to do that is if we have lots of interdisciplinary connection and open communication. And not only that, but we need some savants that can go between fields to connect the same patterns between, say, linguistics and physics. Or, you know, like there's a lot of things that you can connect, biology and economics. There's so many things that you can connect that people wouldn't necessarily think about it. But interdisciplinary study is extremely important for us to survive the future.
I agree. And economics would be an interesting subject.
I am an artist, but I'm also very technically minded. I'm very spatial, and I really enjoy designing information. So that to me is my way of kind of bonding the emotional side of art and how to grab people's attention, the art of hypnosis and psychology, right? And color theory. But you combine that with like measurement and like product drawings and like in informational pamphlets, like IKEA instruction manuals are, or something like that. Like technical design to me is so fascinating. Or like, why do they make sports cars or Ferraris look all curvy and sexy looking? It's like, that's the ergonomical useful part of design melded with engineering is what I'm really interested in.
I can think of a concrete example that's really helped me of what you're talking about. There's a program called Space Sniffer, and what it does is it takes all the data on your computer and it organizes it visually on the screen for you. Like, this folder is fucking enormous. This folder is really tiny. And then you can see like, oh wow, my porn folder is like half my hard drive, or like, you know what I mean? Like, you can see, or you'd be like, oh, I forgot about that one file that's in that one thing and it's really huge and I didn't even know it was there. And you can find like little deposits, like, what is this? So like, if you were sitting there, if you like just pulled up the start menu or file explorer or whatever, you would never be able to get that. It's purely because that has taken the data and made it like through design graphically, like so your brain can comprehend it differently, right?
Well, not only differently, but you're absorbing even more information just by looking at a picture.
Yes.
It's a pictogram. It's really awesome.
I'm going to get a tattoo. And it's going to say, in basic bitch font. It's gonna say, quotation marks, "Oh wow, my porn folder is half my hard drive." And it's gonna be quoted Luke Madrid.
God.
Can I go get it with you?
Yeah, we can go. We can both go get it on left ass cheek.
I mean, hard drive.
That's or less embarrassing. It's less embarrassing than the truth. So yeah, half of my hard drive is porn, whatever.
Embarrassing than the truth.
Make it like a little floppy disk sticker.
Oh.
Floppy.
Put it on
my porn folder. My porn is half my hard drive and it's a floppy disk.
Oh, copy that, floppy.
Let's talk about porn and masturbation for a minute. Because
oh yeah.
Because I'll just jump right into it. There's a reason why I don't have a lot of porn, and that's because when I was younger, in my teens, and I was looking at porn on the internet, which was really hard to find when I was like, you know, 11 or 12, it was impossible to find. But as I got older, it's like, oh, there's more and more and more and more and more and more of it, right? But in those times, it was kind of like shopping. It was like, oh, what if I end up with somebody like that? You know, what if I end up with somebody like that? What if I, you know what I mean? It's like you're, it's kind of like you're imagining the future. But now that I'm older and I've been with some very amazing women, it doesn't feel like, quote, shopping when I look at porn. It feels like me trying to, like, tap into a memory that I can't quite remember from somebody that's not really who I'm looking at on the screen, and it just becomes like, this is not what it used to be. You know what I mean? So I just can't, it doesn't, it's not what it used to be.
Well, it's designed to affect undeveloped minds or, like, people that don't have higher logical faculty, right? Like, because it's easy to imagine yourself in the situation.
But I mean, like, dudes, like, their brains turn off when all the blood goes to their penis. Like, that's even smart people. Like, smart people, you know, are weak.
I know, but once you get older, it's like you can, like, kind of see what's going on, like, that you're being, it's like you're having your buttons pushed. That's what it does. That's what it's designed to do.
You keep and pulling the main trigger.
I did use to peruse, and I'm more of a visual. I care more for the visual than I do like the written. Technically, women usually enjoy the written smut. So that's why romance novels are such a thing, or like 50 Shades of Grey or all this crap. But I'm more into like pinup style stuff, or just I'm more into the more masculine side of stuff. You know, I'm kind of anomaly for that. So usually it's just like, I used to look at that stuff, but when I got older, it was like, okay, well, I'm an artist and I have a pen and I have an imagination. It works kind of almost better than this shitty, like 50K internet connection that I have.
Did you make your own porn?
Yeah, I do. And I did.
Nice.
And I used to, and I sold it in college for extra income, but dope. It's like, yeah, but it's like, now that I can do that, it's just like, it ain't no thing unless it's in real life. You know what I mean? So I can't be addicted to it because I can just make whatever I want. It's kind of like, oh, well, now it's more like, okay, well, what can I do in real life?
I keep thinking, I could just write porn stories and sell them and make money.
Oh my God, you could.
Okay, thanks.
You can sell them to women, will buy that, or people that want to make a script for something to get a picture will buy it.
Oh, you people write my people fucking buy my porn script and make a Hollywood movie out of that shit.
No, not that. They would just get like somebody commission like an art, like a drawing or an animation.
Hey, look, this is vitally important, everyone. Just before we continue, I would like to say, my blood runs cold. Yeah, my memory has just been sold. My angel in the centerfold. Angel in the centerfold.
That's a good one.
Love that song
too. But yeah, you guys can make bank on that if you can actually draw it. But I wouldn't like making videos, shooting videos and doing it for real. Like, that's kind of gross. Like, I'm not into that. I like the idea of creating like a story or a fictional thing, because you can do pretty much anything you want in that context. Whereas if you're shooting it, it loses the magic pretty fast. If you've ever seen how like a porn set works, it's pretty raunchy, dude. And I don't mean,
you got fucking cameramen pointing shit at your fucking genitals. And sometimes if you're
a fluffer.
What's up?
Here's a fluffer.
A fluffer?
You know what the fluffer does?
Dingus doesn't know what a fluffer is.
Yeah, it's pretty bad. Like, it's kind of like, I don't know. Like, some people like fursuits, but I'm not that kind of furry. I like drawings.
Okay. Do you actually not know what a fluffer is? Because I like educating people.
All right, I can put two and two together.
It's not a furry.
not.
No, imagine you can't get it up. Your fluffer is there to help you get it up in any way you may need it to.
Nice, because yeah, I was actually about to bring up the dick shot.
The actress won't keep you hard because she's not paid to do that. She's paid for the shot. So there's a guy on set, or a girl, I guess. I don't know who. It's probably usually a guy that comes up and just, like, taps your nuts.
Yeah,
until you're...
Well, they're so great. They're banging these stereotypically, totally ridiculously gorgeous women, ideally. And
also,
so
a lot of the men are gay, too.
They can't just, like, bust, you know? They gotta, like, hold it back. I think most of them are totally desensitized, and, like, they could lose their heart on real quick if they don't.
Well, it's like work. It's like going to work, like flexing your muscles when you lift a wheelbarrow. It's the same thing, but with your dick.
It's so not sexual in a way. It's so businessy that it's just not sexy.
And that's why I like the purely fantastic side of it, where you can imagine whatever you want. You don't need actors or cameras and stuff. Like that's more interesting to me.
All right. So would you rather watch porn or hentai, where anything is possible?
Hentai.
I'd honestly rather look at pictures, really. I never even liked, like, video. Like as soon as voices and shit get involved, that acting better be on point.
Yeah, I have to agree that I don't usually go for videos.
I kind of would love anything. I just want it to come from a person that I can talk to, not some anonymous rando on the internet. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like that, like getting a really sexy video. That's gonna make my day, right? But I'm not gonna.
But I hope it's someone I know.
Huh?
I said I hope it's someone I know, though, not necessarily like some rando, like you said. Like, to me, that's also unattractive. If the first thing someone does when they come up to you is show their feathers, so to speak, that's just kind of unattractive. It's like, oh, is that all you got? Okay, bye.
Is that what it's supposed to look like?
Yeah, really. I've actually had that moment before.
Oh, can we ask about it on the show?
I mean, do you want the show to be this? I mean, we have to go to horny jail eventually, right?
Well, let's go now, I guess.
Might as well put our hands behind our heads, kneel down now.
Let me just say, you know the whole, like, idiom that men that are tall and have big feet usually have big dongles?
A big dingus dongles?
Big swinger. Big swingers.
Big dingus.
It was.
Big daddy dongles.
That was not a penis.
Not a penis.
It was a button.
Oh, he had an acorn.
Yeah, it was like, oh man, I can't even explain it. It's like when, you know, when your relative wraps like this giant ass box for Christmas and puts this big fucking carbo on top of it.
He puts his dick in it.
No. And then you open it and there's a smaller box that's wrapped with a bow on it. And then you open it. And then there's a smaller box with a bow on it. And you get all the way down. And then there's like a gift card for $5 in it.
Wait, hold up. So y'all didn't have uncles who put their dick in a box for Christmas?
No, that was a Saturday Night Live skit from like the late 90s, right?
Y'all are fucking weird.
No, you.
You don't even know what a fluffer is.
Yeah. I mean, I guess you were your uncle's fluffer, weren't you?
Pass the mic.
Fucking mic.
Yo, okay, all right. So nobody else is going to see the footage, but I just saw Luke do a fucking, like, a hand thing while he said hand that. Thing. And it didn't work. God.
That's the idea.
I fucking killed her.
Yes, you did. Oh,
like,
my God.
Like a Hershey kiss on a dollop of frosting.
What? Okay, yeah. All right, I'm not the only
one.
Sure,
all right.
Yeah, I guess I'll take it. Don't explain that. I'm scared. Yeah.
Don't explain it. I'm scared.
That's what a tiny dick kind of looks like. You know, you got like a Hershey kiss on a dollop of frosting.
That sounds way worse than what you were... Oh, God, that sounds like some kind of German thing.
Like a button, you know?
Oh, my God. Okay, I have... I need to get my bat.
We need to get... So, what is horny jail, and why do people go there?
It's a fucking joke.
Yeah.
But it's a good one.
I don't think it's a joke.
I mean, it is a Doge meme, which, like, it has the Shiba Inu, one normal-looking Shiba Inu with a bat bonking another one on the head, and it looks like his head is caved in. Like, that one looks fucked up. And it says, go to horny jail. And then it says, bonk.
I would love a much gorier version of this meme where instead the Doge is just like a fucking, like a just a sarcastically unashamed murderer and the head is actually caved in.
Yeah, that might be interesting. Like a paranoia agent, Little Slugger.
Oh, is that who what Little Slugger is?
That would be a really good fucking parody, though.
Little Sluggers is the baseball team for the horny jail inmates.
Horny jail paranoia agent parody. Holy shit. Dude, that's a good great. Idea.
It sounds really good. Actually, Japanese people would love that.
We still have to finish it. I want to bring this up on podcast. I don't know how many of our listeners have played or heard of this game, but there's this fucking video game that I love called Jet Set Radio. It's one of my all-time favorites.
Fucking love that game.
Jet Set Radio! Okay, yeah. So
we're all old people, dingus. We remember it.
Okay, yeah. I'm 22. I'm like a decade younger than Rabbit and change now.
And me.
Well, he's a rabbit, so that means you're 12 years younger than me.
No, he's and our Mari's baby
also
rabbit.
Yeah, and Mari's also a rabbit, so we're like born pretty much around the same time. So there's actually three rabbits on the show.
We're your spirit parents.
Yeah.
I've been lots of places. I can fit in with older people if I need to.
Like old people. I have an old soul.
I always preferred hanging around with old people. Anyways, Jet Set Radio, Horny Jail, the creator of most of the iconic music that any of you would remember from that soundtrack, if it wasn't from like a guest artist, was a man named Hideki Naganuma. Dude, I casually listened to it. Listened to it. I have for years. It's that fucking good. It really could comprise its own album. Anyways, Hideki Naganuma, he's got a Twitter. It's called The Funky Uncle. You should go check it out. But he's been to horny jail, too, because when he gets lonely, he looks up, like, really uncomfortable, like, personal fucking porn searches. And people can just see that shit because he retweets some of it. Fucking, like, teens and shit. Not literal teens, but...
Oh.
I mean, actually, Twitter is the spawning ground of the horny jail meme.
You know,
the spawning ground.
The bass player to Megadeth just got kicked out of the band and sent to horny jail.
What happened? I love Megadeth.
Apparently, they found him like jerking off.
And, where?
Dave Mustaine kicked him out of the band. I don't know. It's all like a hush hush, like rumor. But he's out of the band officially. Like they announced it.
Was he jerking off to anything fucked up?
He's just been doing it somewhere really bad.
The details are not known, but that happened yesterday. They kicked him out of the band.
Okay,
probably
look.
In front of a kid.
All right, look, we all know Dave is a chode. I can totally see Dave Mustaine walking in with that towel wrapped around his hair like you see in every other video of him when he's not bitching about a laser pointer. Oh, that's fucked up, dude. You're out of the band. That's what he sounds like. But,
At Burning Man once, and we had a public area that was in front of our private section where all our housing was. And in the little public section, it had a military canopy that was basically meant to hide equipment from the air. But we were just using it to, you know, stay cool in the sun. And so it was this really cool lounge we had with a couch. And we kind of like walk out one day, and there's a dude sitting there on the couch. He's getting a blowjob from his girlfriend.
Yeah.
Just right there on our couch in this public area because they were probably walking around or whatever. And they're like, oh, look, that's a quiet, dark place that nobody's hanging out. And they just like got on the couch and just started going for it, right? Well, one of our campers, rather than reacting like, oh, excuse me, you know, he like goes over there and like sits right next to him and just starts jerking off, right? And he comes back into the private area, like, with his chest, like, covered in his, you know what I mean? That dude, like, nobody would talk to him after that. He was permanently in horny jail.
Oh, man.
Yeah, I wouldn't fucking either.
Oh,
at least
God.
Wipe that shit off.
I have to tell you a story. This is bad.
Cock's not on a teat.
But he just couldn't handle, like, he was so turned on by just walking and seeing this blowjob, he just had to jerk off. And his thinking was like, well, you're here in my space just giving a blowjob, so I'm going to sit here and jerk off. Like, this is my, you know what I mean? Like, I have the right to do that. Like,
this is that's a
my
fucking carrot.
Yeah, it was kind of a, so that I, and like, but then when he came back into the private area, everyone was like, oh, no, like, he couldn't, nobody would talk to him after that, so, yeah.
Dude,
the horny jail. That's horny jail. So horny jail is like when you are thinking with your horny brain, and later you're gonna be like, "That was bad thinking." You know what I mean? Like,
dude,
I should.
Yeah, but the dude that's hitting you on the head with the bat is like, bro, come to your senses. Oi, mate, you got a license for that boner? Like, you can't just like wave that around in public. Like, okay, dude, seriously, I have to tell you this, and I'm not going to be really specific because I love this person and they meant no harm. And it's, if people were looking at them, it's their own goddamn fault. And it's not, it's, anyway, they were doing mushrooms at a convention and they went down to the lower level where like stuff was going on in the day, but it was like 3 a.m. and they started like cuddling and rolling around on the floor and they had like costume on, which I'm not going to be specific.
Dogs. They were dressed like blue dogs.
Yeah, a convention, eh?
They weren't blue. They weren't blue, and they weren't furry either.
Okay.
Yeah, so, yeah, for sure. Anyway, some people saw them when they were going up the elevator, because the elevators are in the center, and then there's like this, like it goes all the way to the bottom with like a fountain at the bottom floor, and people saw them from the elevator and took video with their phones, posted it all over the internet. No. And we're like, oh shit, look at this fucking shit. And then like the next morning, a fucking tabloid newspaper in the UK had their fucking photo on the front cover. I'm friends with famous people. Like, they famously got put to horny jail by Twitter or like wherever the fuck it spread. I don't know, but
was it the Daily Mail?
And people were shit talking them later in the day, and I'm like, you know what? Fuck you guys. I know them and they're way cooler than you. Dude, they were like literally famous at the end of the day. So,
oh, that's terrible.
This one's kind of morbid, and I have to be very careful about how I speak about it because I don't want people doxing them. But I knew somebody who knew somebody, etc., who once upon a time they went out hunting, right? This, and they killed an elk or whatever, and while they were slaughtering it, because they slaughtered it traditionally and used the meat and did all the stuff you're supposed to do. It didn't waste anything. And they had a license and it was totally legal and all that. But during the slaughtering process, this dude's like super hot girlfriend decides to like pull a Luke Skywalker and jump in the Tauntaun, right?
Oh,
yes.
And took a bunch of crazy pictures. Well, this person had to like change their fucking name and like disappear and like totally change everything about their life because those pictures were so they went around, right? And horny jail, you know, they just thought it would be fun. Like, they just like, oh, look at the blood. It's cool. You're covered in blood. You know, whoa.
I'm going to jump in this gore pit.
This is why you have your own pillow book and it's private and you print it out and you put it under your bed and it's not on your phone ever again.
Hey, look, man, you close all the tabs on the fucking computer. You should do it in real life, too.
Absolutely. 100%. And I do have videos against other people's wills that I kept.
Nice.
But I don't post them.
Just watch them.
SpongeBob doesn't know about the secret string in the secret box.
Here's my logic.
A photo of him taking embarrassing steps at the Christmas party.
I know, right?
He went out of air.
But dude, here's my logic. It's like, even if I don't want those right now, when I'm like 68 years old and I have Alzheimer's, that might be pretty fun.
You're a genius.
I love the way you think.
you go to the convalescent horny jail.
Okay, let's see my phone from 2014 now. Oh, my Lord. I might go to heaven pretty nicely.
Fucking in convalescent horny jail, they actually have to give you a hand job to keep you fucking calm, docile.
In some retirement homes, they'd be fucking. That's what I heard.
As a PSA, don't post revenge porn. That's fucked up, and you're a bad person.
But also, you have plenty of them, don't you?
Well, I don't post them on the internet. I don't post them to people. That's gross.
Okay. I really don't like getting political on the show, so this will be brief. But I have family members who are big QAnon people. And it was kind of driving me insane.
Oh, yeah?
For a while. Yeah, yeah. But, you know, they really liked Matt Gaetz, the Florida congresswoman. Woo! And just a fun fact about him, before we know what we do now about him, he was one of the few people in Congress to vote against a bill for human trafficking and revenge porn, banning revenge porn. And I forget what the fucking bill was.
That's good to know.
He voted against it?
Against it.
Wow.
I mean, that shit's like stop at stop signs, right?
That's fucked up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I feel vindicated, truly.
Yeah, you can't argue with that. Beating people up and putting them in horny jail is a way to heal them from their disease of being too horny.
Stone them for their infidelity.
No, you don't kill them.
Thank you for just saying it how it is. Thank you.
No.
Yeah, beat them up to cure them of their disease. That's what we've been doing for thousands of years.
But what if they're bring up this whole practice is probably by people who get hard when they get bonked, and it's all just a ruse because there's no horny, their horny jail. Okay, they don't have one. Our horny jail is there. Anyway, let's go back to what you're talking
shaming.
About.
It's public shaming is all it is. But not only that, but like, okay, I like that you did write in the notes that it's like, is it therapy? Is it like to help them, or is it to hurt them or kill them or stone them to death?
Why is it wrong to be horny though? That's what I don't understand.
Like, it's not, but because you might make bad decisions if you're too, it's that you're too horny. That's the thing. You go to horny jail when you're too horny. you could be regular horny, but if you get way too horny and you're like harsh in the vibe, your friend, your wingman, or your horny jail warden, me, Mari, will come up to you with a baseball bat and kind of bonk you on the head and be like, yo, dude, put your dick away.
Now, isn't this
so
just,
I gave him a hit bop!
Isn't this basically just...
It's a bonk on the head to be like...
That okay, sounds like cock blocking.
No, like, don't do something stupid.
It's cock rocking.
Imagine if the same moral overlays were put upon food, and some people just needed more calories than others. You know, I guess
quite literally is cock blocking, but it's cock blocking for the right reason.
Well hey, yeah. Man, the same.
It's not that I don't want you to be horny or do the thing, but it's like, hey, I'm just interrupting it for a second to make sure that that's really what you want to do, because it may not be a good idea.
Chick is a two. You don't mess with twos. Go to horny jail.
So this is something I've actually been thinking about for a long time. Not related to horny jail, you fucking degenerates.
Sorry.
I mean, really, those same rules were applied to food for quite some time. One of the seven deadly sins is gluttony. I think about what it would mean to be fat 200 or 300 years ago when there really wasn't enough to go around most of the time, especially during winter. Like, you did have one famine a year. Where you ate fucking like
what would that meme be called? Settle down, fatty.
Well, you gotta do some fucking King James English for that. Like, I can't really pull that out of my ass.
Like, put on the fatty dunce cap.
But we don't bonk people who go to McDonald's too much. You know, we don't bonk.
Put on
them.
Thine gluttonous dressings.
No, if you get a vaccine, you get a free McDonald's hamburger.
I thought you said sandburger.
No, you also get a free donut. I don't know if it was McDonald's or like some
Krispy Kreme.
Some weird
Krispy Kreme.
There was a burger one too.
Krispy Kreme was handing out donuts.
There was some burger chain doing it too. I think it was Shake Shack.
This is totally unrelated, but it reminds me of something I was thinking about a couple of days ago, and I just thought it sounded cool. Fucking if I ever wrote a love song, it would be called "If One Was Two and We Fucked on the Goo Lagoon."
Ooh.
Okay.
The Goo Lagoon.
The Goo Lagoon.
That's the opening music track in the opening credits to the serial killer movie film that we're going to make.
You should put it in the opening of this episode.
Dude, did you know that there's like a goo person fetish?
What is a goo person fetish?
It's like somebody who's made out of jelly or slime or goo, like that's alive and sentient, and the slime like envelops you and fucks you.
Kind of like octopus.
It's kind of like tentacle porn, but it's like a liquid slime thing. But it's a person. It has like legs and stuff. But it... a
sentient slime person with horny intentions.
Yes.
The more you know.
Yeah, so your little poem is kind of unsettling because it's very fetishy. just put a dolphin in the lagoon, in the goo lagoon, and there you go.
SpongeBob. Let's think about the Goo Lagoon and SpongeBob, you fucks.
Oh, I'm sorry. I forgot you're a child.
You're just talking about Dan Schneider.
Oh, I'm sorry. I forgot you're a fucking crypt keeper.
Not quite yet. I've got about 5 more years.
Tales from the Crypt. That fucking sucked. How you feeling about...
Oh, that was one of my favorite shows as a kid.
I feel like
SpongeBob is like Meme Factory Central. Like, it's 101 Meme Factory.
Tales from the Crypt, though.
That was good.
That shit scared me when I was young, but eventually I started to love that shit.
Same. But he was funny. I actually liked the Crypt Keeper's personality.
So many puns.
As a kid, that I couldn't not, like, he was scary looking, but I really thought he was, like, friendly, like a cool uncle.
Like a bloated Mr. No, I guess he's the opposite of bloated. Like a fucking terrible mummified Mr. Rogers.
I love Mr. Rogers.
I think he's cool, but I didn't grow up with, I grew up with SpongeBob, and I'm going to say this here. SpongeBob is one of the funniest fucking shows ever made, and everybody should watch it.
Hey, Dingus, did you see it? Like, the first seasons? Like, the old ones?
Yeah, I had shit, like, some of my earliest memories are watching that shit on VHS.
I'm so happy for you. Yeah, you got the best part of SpongeBob.
That was
the day that show premiered, my cable got cut off, and my family never got cable ever again.
What are memes?
A packet of highly transmissible information.
So I was really interested to find out that one of my favorite scientists, Richard Dawkins, actually coined the term meme in his 1976 book, The Selfish Gene. So
yeah, when I found that out, it kind of blew my mind.
I know. And like, because Dawkins, he also wrote The God Delusion and the Selfish Gene, which he talks about how he's a Darwinist in that he thinks that complexity arises from nature and that nature doesn't necessarily start from a complex seed and grows out from it. So he's of the persuasion that religion and God and all of this stuff has to do with our biological ability to evolve and survive in the world. So it's not that he is shitting on God, which a lot of people think that he is. I mean, he is agnostic, not agnostic. He's an atheist, but I don't think that he's saying that God is like a piece of shit and doesn't exist. I think he's saying that we're confusing it with biology.
Look, Mari, look, I just got to level with you. God is dead and no one cares. But if there is a hell, I'll see you there.
But okay.
Nine-inch nail. Okay.
I mean, we've moved on from music. I mean,
it's
music,
a good record.
Music is memes in a way, too, because a lot of times you'll have cover songs or music is passed down orally, right? So someone is taught a song or learns how to jam with a band, and then they pass it on to people that they jam with later. And that's how a song is created.
Well, so, it's almost.
But back then, when songs were created that way by word of mouth, we didn't have the internet or even telephones. So culture spread by word of mouth. So music developed that way as well. Like the old genres that we're used to of knowing like the roots of where our music comes from now was developed back then when memetics, like memes could not travel as fast because we were not interconnected as much as we are now. But with the advent of the internet and telecommunication systems and, you know, networks,
that's an interesting parallel because if you go back and look at folk songs, you oftentimes have like every artist has their own rendition of it.
Yes. Like, and they're all uniquely viable on their own. Like, I would listen to multiple covers of a song just because I like how a vocalist would intone a certain verse or the way someone would strum it on their guitar. Like, there's a validity to every cover. It's the same song, but it has a different flavor.
This is actually really cool, speaking of memes. So, all right. Everyone here is familiar with that fucking... look, the cool S. It's just like an angular S that's almost like an eight, like a diamond shape. Y'all all know what I'm talking about, right?
Yeah. Yes. Someone has drawn that on their desk since forever.
It's like a gangster, like a gang S.
Gangster
People have been
S.
doing that since before World War II.
Really?
All over the world.
Oh, I thought do you guys remember the Kilroy Was Here drawing of the man?
I was going to bring that one up too.
Of the man over the fence with the hands and his nose is sticking out like Squidward. It's a very simple drawing that everyone can do just like the S. But that happened at the advent of, what was it, Dingus? The First World War, right?
Mm-hmm.
And people, like all the soldiers would start doing this graffiti, Kilroy Was Here. And Kilroy was just like a generic, like Tom, Dick, and Harry kind of name.
The fascinating thing to me about either of these memes is that they really just don't have a meaning. Yet when you see it, you just kind of replicate it.
Well, it's like because you've seen it before, you're going to replicate it. That's memes are viral information. They spread regardless of meaning. And like if it does have meaning, it spreads faster, right? It spreads more voraciously. But a lot of times if everybody has a shared experience and there's a meme presented or some kind of memes are basically like inside jokes that cross cultural boundaries.
Yeah.
That S, I just realized it kind of looks like the Tree of Life.
Oh.
Yeah. Or you know what it really is a Mobius strip.
Really cool. Malachor. Yeah. I love that. Yeah.
Or an infinity sign, like an 8.
Yeah, it does kind of like loop back into itself. It's very geometrical when you draw it, so it's kind of cool.
Or people would call it like a chain link or something. You could draw chain links in a similar way.
Yeah, that symbol to me is just one of the most endlessly fascinating things because it spread all over the world pre-internet. Like, I mean, all over the world. People everywhere, just like kids everywhere, just draw this fucking thing. You'll see it in Africa. You'll see it in Asia. You'll see it in America.
And that. And like that happening, like the fact that we're connected or that multiple people will go to one certain place where they see that graffiti and they'll pass on the information that like memes would spread super slowly back in the day because you need, you know, someone to travel. Like in Death Stranding, we'd have people on doing the Pony Express. Like if you wanted to send a letter or a meme to somebody, it would take like a whole month for them to get it.
Yeah.
So memes now,
like the biology of thought.
Yes,
memes
exactly.
Are like genes, like a genetic, like gene.
Yeah, it's, and that's what Dawkins was trying to say is that memes are just information traveling a lot faster than typical in our society.
And it's also passed down through the generations, but our generations now seem to be passing these memes by every week. There's a new one and a fresher one every week.
Notice it gets faster and faster because when we were young, our memes, like I'm saying we, like anybody who's like around 28 to 32, 30, you know, 35, our memes in the beginning of the internet, they lasted for like years. Okay.
Yeah. The demotivational posters on fucking
Counter-Strike.
Demotivational
posters. That's like the first meme I remember.
And yeah, and it just accelerates as time goes on because we become more connected every year.
There are still some memes that strangely just stick around though over time. Like fucking, you got Pepe, you got Doge has had a surprisingly long shelf life. Yeah,
it's holding.
Some of these things tend to stick around.
Like Rickroll. Everybody likes Rickrolls.
Never gonna give you up. Never gonna let you down. Yeah. Never gonna run around and hurt you.
Dude, I'm a fucking, I'm a YTMND native.
Oh, that's a long time ago.
Yeah. And I guess, you know, I don't know. It's just like now memes are so cheap and there's so many of them now that, you know, you'll only see the one, like, I only pay attention to the ones that are actually classic, you know what I mean? That will last a long time, because that's really the only one that I really care about.
We should do the whole rabbit meme review.
The pool's closed due to COVID.
Okay, we gotta get a Reddit. Can we get a Reddit?
We do need a Reddit.
Oh, we'll get a Reddit. We'll have so many rules that nobody can post anything.
We have to do memes. We have to have a meme column.
But the memes have to have, like, a certain amount of pixels. Like spacing, and if you don't, it instantly gets deleted.
So I was just thinking about this before we get too far off topic. Mari was talking about how memes are cheap, and I guess the special thing about a meme is that it's just a unit of information that is finely compressed. You can hold a lot or a little information in a meme, and it doesn't take much processing power to use it or to understand it. So in this way,
or make it new, you just say it or remix it or reference it, and you're. You're invoking the meme.
Yeah, it contains the information. It's like opening up a file or sending one on a computer, you know?
And it works better than sending the file on the computer because people instantly retain the information. Like Luke, you were talking about in the beginning.
A meme?
With the visualization of your computer files, it's the same thing. It's a meme enables you to actually retain and transfer the information a lot faster and it bypasses your processing unit. Like, if you laugh at it, you'll probably pass it to somebody.
Yeah, that like adds cool... to its survivability. And even the idea that primates laughing is a form of social acceptance and approval.
Dude, fucking memes should unironically be studied in grade school.
At this point, they absolutely should. One of the things they told me in college is that we need to create a whole section of learning for kids that teaches them critical thinking about advertising and about what they see in the media.
Yeah.
Think, like, from the moment you can fucking speak English or differentiate colors and shapes, you're assaulted by advertising.
Okay, and then I have to say one more thing before we move on to ads, because I'm good at that. We were talking about how memes are basically an analog of biological process, but we're seeing it in like information transfer psychologically.
Yeah.
In social situations. Why do you think they call them viral videos? Because a virus is one of the most efficient ways to transfer data.
Yeah.
I mean, that's all a virus does.
Yeah. It genetic data.
Is it injects data into your cell, and then your cell is made to replicate that data.
It's crazy because they found out through like genome sequencing that our DNA is created from like millions of ancient viruses that infected our common ancestors or whatever, changed our DNA over time. Like, so we have the genetic information of a fuckload of viruses. They helped us get
here. It's like the Microsoft update pack that you still have installed on your computer from 2011. You know,
so
it's
like
all that junk stuff.
The aliens come down and give us COVID, and it's just a brand new OS.
Possibly, like gene editing would be that, and that's why, like, I would like to have to be able to consent to gene editing.
And if you'd like to hear the rest of the conversation, please visit www.patreon.com/thewholerabbit, where this episode will be hosted for free in its entirety. The other episodes, though, you'll have to pay me $5 to get the extended versions, but we'll talk about that later. Thank you, everybody. Eat carrots and shoot lasers.